Every school has that one teacher students actually want to see. And at Ecker and Park City High School, that teacher is Mr. Zachary Giddings. Known for turning squeaks into symphonies and beginners into confident musicians, he somehow manages to demand excellence while still being everyone's favorite person in the room. His students may come for band, but they stay for the laughs, the life lessons, and maybe his legendary patience. Let's listen to my conversation with Mr. Giddings.
Okay, here we go. So I am here this morning with the one and only Zachary Giddings. So do people call you Mr. Giddings?
Oh my gosh, they call me everything. I mean, they call me Mr. Giddings. They call me Gids. They call, like, if a kid really likes me and I really like them, they can call me Gidlet. I'm cool with whatever. So,
yes.
But only the cool kids can say that one.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. So tell me, where'd you come from?
I'm originally from Killeen, Texas, which is an hour north of Austin. But my family moved to Provo, Utah when I was quite young. So I grew up Provo, went to Timpview High, go Thunderbirds. Yes, I was at the Timpview Jazz Band and I was friends with people in the Park City Jazz Band.
Okay.
So I have really fond memories of coming up here with my friends. You know, all the good jazz bands know each other, so they all visit each other. So that's a very formative part of me growing up, was I felt a connection to Park City even before I taught here, which is so crazy. Then I went to the University of Utah. Then I got a teaching job in Murray, and I just fell in love with being in Utah and being around music teachers in Utah. Now I'm teaching up here, and it's because Chris Taylor literally called me and said, hey, we would love for you to teach in Park City, and I'm just thrilled to be part of this community.
How did he know about you?
Oh my gosh, every band director knows each other. It's a very small world. He actually sent me a really nice message after my first year of teaching. He heard my band at Region Band, and it's unreal that you're a first year teacher. I mean, he was just so kind, and he was a mentor of mine even before I taught here, and yeah, I just feel very fortunate.
Yeah. Are you a trumpet player as well?
No, I play saxophone.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Okay. Is that like a competition between saxes and trumpets?
Oh, yeah, well, saxophone is God's instrument. And like Mr. Taylor believes the trumpet is as well, but no, no, I'm kidding. We all think our instrument is the best.
So. Yes, of course. So how did you grow up knowing you wanted to be a teacher?
What's funny, I never thought I would be a teacher. I loved school. And I had very great teachers growing up that really inspired me. But I actually originally wanted to be a pharmacist. And I think that's such a weird thing. Like, even as a 9-year-old, I'd be telling people, I'm going to be a pharmacist one day. And then I got a high school band, and I just loved making music so much. I had a fabulous high school band director. Also, my middle school band director. She was amazing. Patricia Henderson, David Fulmer. Those two completely changed my life.
In what way? What was so impactful?
They were so kind and uplifting, but also just such high standards of excellence. I still remember Patricia Henderson, even in middle school, we're sitting there and we're playing this piece of music. It was called Polly Oliver, and I was actually playing the clarinet part in it.
You're a multi-instrument.
If you play saxophone, you got to play them all, and that's why I always tell the kids, like, no, you got to play clarinet and flute as well. Like, it was kind of crazy. I just remember she was working with us on this piece. Things were just not locking in. She would not move on until it was correct, but she was never mean about it, and mm-hmm. She was just so inspiring. I wanted nothing more in the world than to please Ms. Henderson and make her proud of us. Oh my gosh, Dr. Fulmer, he knew how to take a kid way further than they knew they could go. And I just remember sitting in those rehearsals thinking, I can't believe we're doing this. Obviously, it was never perfect. You know, music is never perfect. Just such a high standard of, this is what we do here and here's why it's special. I did not want to graduate high school. I loved Timpview Band so much.
Wow. And what year did you graduate? You're very young.
Oh my gosh. I graduated at Timpview High 2011. So.
Okay. Tell me about your day. You start really early.
I wake up at 5 a.m. to get up to Park City. Varsity Jazz starts right at 6:30 a.m. And we had a great rehearsal this morning. We had new music in our folders because we just performed at the State Jazz Festival, and they rock. They got straight superior ratings, highest rating you can get.
Great.
But yeah, 6:30 a.m. every single day. And you would be amazed that teenagers can wake up that early. I'm always shocked. I teach at the high school every other day, and I teach at the middle school every other day. And it's a wonderful setup. I get to teach alongside one of my best friends, Sam Silverman, and my other close friend, Ty Exel. Mr. Exel does all of the percussion. Mr. Silverman, he's focusing on the brass, and I'm focusing on woodwinds. And we've really created this awesome setup that allows us to really get to know the kids throughout the years and see, oh, this is, like, I remember you as a beginner, and now I get to see you achieving at this level in varsity jazz. It's special to be at the high school because these are kids who I taught in middle school.
Oh, I love it.
The best part of my day is sitting here and seeing some of these kids who I remember when they literally didn't know how to put the instrument together. I taught them that. And now they're throwing down at State Jazz. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you are way cooler than I thought you would be.
Don't tell anybody.
Right.
But what is a great day for you in the teaching world? Like, what do you like to hear from parents and students? I always wonder this about teachers. Do we do enough for you guys?
Well, in Park City, I feel so fortunate to teach here. I work with amazing adults. And the parents in this community, the amount of support and love that I feel after every performance, and even randomly through the year, I think we're all working together to just create the best humans we possibly can. Mm-hmm. It truly is a collaboration of how can we make sure this child is an awesome adult. A good day of teaching. There are so many ways I could answer that. I've always said forever, I know it's a great rehearsal if the band gets better. And I know that sounds so simple, but not every rehearsal does the band, like the band will improve a little bit, but you know it's a great rehearsal based off of how much you hear them improve. And I think that's why I love music. You get immediate feedback of what is what I'm doing achieving. We make a lot of mistakes, and mm-hmm. especially in the beginners, of course we're making mistakes. I mean, if the kid was perfect on the first day, I'd be like, that's not normal. You should not be perfect. When you hear the kids fixing things, and when you see their faces lighting up because they figured out this really tricky passage in their music, I just love when a rehearsal, you hear the improvements, you see the improvements. And I've also said, I know it's a good day if I see laughter in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I see the kids smiling and laughing and they are just so excited to be there, I know it's a great day. That happens a lot in the band room.
Like, I bet.
It really is so cool to see these kids grow up. And it's like the best and the worst part of the job. I'm getting so sad about the seniors getting ready to graduate and they're about to go and do their cool adult things. And it's like, I got this really special window into their life where I got to really see them turn into the adult they're going to be. And I'm always jealous of the parents. It's like, you get to hang out with this kid for the rest of your life, right? Whereas I see this kid, they graduate. And yes, they come back and visit. Yes, they say hi. But it's simultaneously the best and the saddest feeling of being like, oh, I remember when you were a ninth grader. Yeah. I remember when you were growing and now you're this really cool adult and go do cool things.
Yeah.
I always say that I hope the kids make music for the rest of their life in some capacity. I think every great music educator wants to see their kids want to make music, and we want to inspire this love of music. Even if they don't perform, if you become a consumer and an advocate for music where you say, yes, I want to see the Utah Symphony be supported. Yes, I want to see go to live music. People crave the arts as they want to feel emotions and they want to experience thoughts, experience feelings. They want to feel something or remember something. And that's when you know it's powerful music. Yeah, I just want the kids to make music. And we have kids who are going to study music education. We have students who are going to study music performance. I have two clarinet players who are going to take over the world at the University of Utah next year.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I'm excited to see them just go and throw down and just be the best musicians. Anyone and everyone can make music at any age. And even if you don't study music professionally, play in a community band, find a community orchestra. I think it would be so cool if we had, like, the number of band parents I talked to, they're like, I used to play flute. It's like, oh my gosh, you should still play flute.
It'd be
so fun.
Uh-huh.
We even have a girl that she wants to do an internship. She's thinking she wants to be a music conductor or a music teacher one day.
Yeah.
Nice. She's a fabulous percussionist, and she's literally learning clarinet right now just because she wants to know what it's like to play a wind instrument. And like, so she comes to the middle school and plays with our beginning clarinets every day. In fact, the sixth graders worship her, which is really cute. And she's doing a fantastic job learning another instrument. And you can tell it's because she has such a deep understanding of the music and how to read it. And she's transferring the skills over to this new thing. So yes, absolutely. If you know how to play one thing, you can and should learn something else. And that's where I played tuba in college. Saxophone's my main instrument, but I also played clarinet and flute whenever I get hired for pit orchestras. I always say, learn as many as you can. And we have kids who are very multi-talented, and it's always incredible to me to see the kids just take off with this once they learn the skills and they get the fundamentals down and then they bring it to other instruments. Mm-hmm. It is the coolest.
How are these kids going to remember you, do you think?
That is very cerebral. I have to think about that. Whenever I ask students, you know, what is it that makes band special? Like, let's ignore the actual class itself. What is Mr. Giddings doing that is attracting you to this activity? A very common answer is the positivity. People talk about how I'm so nice and uplifting. What some middle schoolers see as nice and positive is also inspiring. And I say that my goal every single day is that every kid leaves feeling inspired. I just think it is so important with young people that you make things as fun but still excellent as mm-hmm. possible. Because kids, they crave fun, but they crave excellence. I refuse to be the teacher that lets a kid not be the best version of who they can be. I just want to help every kid, especially at Ecker. I love my Ecker people. We are genuinely here to support every kid as best as we can. And gosh, I mean,
you hope to be here forever.
I have said it forever. I'm going to retire from Park City.
You've been here for 5 years, you said? Or?
So I've been in Park City for 5 years now.
Okay.
Yes, this is my fifth school year. This is my 11th year of teaching. We are so fortunate, just talking music program specifically, not everyone in Utah has an elementary music specialist in every single building.
Mm-hmm.
And we have four elementary schools with outstanding music teachers. And I taught in a school that we did not have that. And when they got to middle school, it was a lot harder to get the kids to achieve. And these kids show up and they know how to read notes. They know how to read rhythms. We're just reinforcing it and teaching them how to do it with an instrument. I say all the time, band, we are teaching the kids delayed gratification. Because, man, that performance that mom and dad are really proud of, that took several weeks of intentional practice, both in our classes and at home, for that performance to happen. And let me tell you, when you're watching the varsity jazz band or the wind ensemble or the top orchestra or the top choirs at the high school perform, those kids started in sixth grade at Ecker.
Yeah.
And it takes years to truly find excellence. But I think one thing that's special about our music staff, even in sixth grade, we are trying to hold them to a high standard.
Mm-hmm.
And man, when you watch that performance, the kids didn't just do that magically. They did not walk in and know how to perform. Like, we had to teach them that. And the kids had to do the work. And like, that's the nice thing about band. You can't cheat in band.
And oh, and just a shout out to Mr. Silverman too, because he's a wonderful, wonderful teacher.
Love him. Yeah. And he is as inspiring. I think we're different kinds of inspiring, because I'm like caffeinated inspiring and he's like very chill, very happy inspiring.
I'm excited to see what happens from here on out with all these young kids that are just starting. It's just wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you for all you do, really.
Thank you.